Chapter 3. Excuses. Everybody has one. I ain't no pastor. That ain't my name. Don't call me that. These were the types of responses I gave the guys who addressed me as pastor. I knew what the pastor's job was in the church, to preach, and I knew that I couldn't preach. Furthermore, I did not want to be the head of a group of people who were coming to the group prayer circles that we held once or twice each week. I don't mean to judge, but these guys were cussing, arguing, fighting, smoking, lying, stealing, getting high, and everything else under the sun every single day, 7 days a week. Even though I avoided that type of behavior, people still criticized me and said that I was just as bad as them. They said I was allowing my church to do all those things. You get the picture now. Remember what I said earlier. I care what people think about me, and since I couldn't take the criticism, I wasn't willing to step up to the plate as the pastor. While reading some spiritual material, God showed me that I was supposed to be their pastor. In fact, God showed me that I was already being the pastor over the church. From my understanding, a pastor is responsible for the spiritual welfare and well-being of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. The few times that we would assemble for prayer, I would organize and lead the prayer. I was inviting people to join me at Miss Golden's faith-based Bible study class. I was handing out Bibles and scriptures to read. As God revealed this to me, I thought to myself, I am the pastor, and I accepted the title. After the Lord showed Moses the signs to show the Israelites and make them believe, Moses tried to reject the responsibility. He gave God the excuse that he was not able to speak well. I made your mouth. Said the Lord to Moses, now go and do as I have commanded you. I will be with your mouth and give you the words to say. Exodus 4:11-12. For a man who has been given a task to do by the Lord Almighty, what more could he ask for better than the being with him and helping him to complete the task? Nevertheless, Moses did not want to obey the Lord nor heed the calling, so he asked the Lord to send someone else instead. This greatly angered the Lord, but he told Moses to go and that he would use Moses' brother Aaron to speak to the Hebrews. Then God told Moses to go and meet Aaron. The Holy Bible does not specifically say this in the scriptures, but I think that Moses' disobedience to God and unwillingness to comply are the reasons that God sought to kill Moses. Before Moses made it to his brother Aaron, God was ready to kill Moses. Read Exodus 4:24-27. If we cannot be used for the plan that God created us for, we are not of use to God. Don't get me wrong, though. God's ways are higher than ours, and he gives us chance after chance to do his will. But who knows when our time on this earth is going to expire? Only God knows. So we must do as he says while the blood is still running warm through our bodies. I must admit, too often I procrastinate when it comes to doing things that the Lord requires of me. Sometimes I am even unwilling, and I cannot muster up the strength to do what I'm supposed to do. And then, there are times when I simply do not know what I should be doing and which route to take. Whatever the case may be, I stay in prayer, asking God to order my steps and lead me by the Holy Spirit. You know what he does. Exactly that. After being here in jail for a few months, my older cousin Dwight was sent here from prison. He was housed in the room right next to mine. I have no big brother or big sister, so most of my life Dwight has sort of filled in that big brother spot. He has no younger brother, so I think it all works together. Although he just calls me his little cousin and says he'll do anything for me, I believe him. I trust him. I look up to him. So when I was called to ministry, I took some pointers from him. Dwight has always ministered the word of God in jail as far as I can remember. In fact, whenever he is looked up, Dwight is referred to as Reverend Dye, his real name being Dwight Dye. He has been in jail quite a few times, but I think that I have been in and out of jail more times than he has. The difference between us is that he seeks the Lord while incarcerated and tries to please God. This is my first time doing this, so of course my older cousin Dwight is more experienced in ministering the word of God. Watching Dwight do this thing and listening to him is very inspiring and motivating. I have been locked up with him a few times, but I never paid attention to what he was preaching and teaching, even if I attended one of his studies. I don't remember any of the material from back then. I guess it wasn't my time yet. This time is different, though. His messages from the Lord give me hope and instruction. The only issue with all of that was, can I do that? Am I able to preach like Dwight? The reason why I was not too quick to take on the title of preacher was because I knew that I could not read a scripture then. Talk about it. Explaining it and relating it to something in my life or the life of someone I knew. I wouldn't describe myself as shy, but I just didn't know what to stand up and say, and I didn't want to mess up and make a fool of myself. Remember, I care what people think about me. I also care about what they say concerning me. Little did I know, God has something in store for all of us. As I faithfully attended Miss Martha Golden's class on Tuesdays and Thursdays each week, she often prompted me to get up and explain scriptures in class. She also began telling me to read certain scriptures and be prepared to get up in front of the class and speak at the next meeting. I would prepare my speeches in advance, almost word for word, on paper, and just read them aloud in class, then call it a day. I always prayed before writing and before speaking, so it wasn't as hard as I initially thought it would be. Therefore, I started making what I called my written sermons longer than 2 to 4 minute speeches. God's Holy Spirit was leading me because I was willing to do what I thought God was telling me to do. I'm glad that the Lord put Miss Golden in my life at this time to encourage me into my calling into the ministry. Although she was a member of the same church that I belonged to, New Green Grove Church of Faith under the leadership of Bishop Milton Glass, Miss Golden and I never really got acquainted properly. At New Green Grove, she seemed friendly, loving, always speaking and smiling, but so were most of the members. Miss Golden still holds the Bible study class to this day, and she still has high expectations of me. A funny thing happened on October 27, 2017, 3 days prior to my trial. I received from my lawyer a list of potential jurors whom would decide the verdict of my case. I was told to see if there were any names on the list that I recognized, and to make note of them. Miss Golden's name was on the list. What were the odds of that happening? I was supposed to mark all the people whom I knew personally and let it be known, so that they would not be chosen for jury duty. But I was not about to eliminate Miss Golden as a potential juror, since I assumed that she would decide in my favor. Among the long list of names on the jury list were the names of people I played street football with CD, took high school classes with Nakaba, hung out with as adults doing illegal stuff Antonio, and a guy who used to bully me as a kid, Melvin. I didn't cross any of those names off the list. I figured they could see past all of the social media negativity, sympathize with me, and deliver a verdict in my favor based on the actual physical evidence. None of them were chosen for the jury, though. Another key thing that I now know from the teachings of M.S. Golden, the teachings of M.S. Turnage, and from studying scripture is that there is a difference between teaching and preaching. I prefer teaching because it is structured and easier, but sometimes while I'm teaching, I find myself preaching a sermon. Sometimes I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to prepare a sermon and teach class in one class session, so I obey. Something else I want to give Miss Golden credit for is allowing God to work through her and cause me to start teaching class here in the jail housing unit on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. 3 times per week for about 1 to 1.5 hours, 12:30 p.m. until 2 p.m. or 1 to 2 p.m., I hold BEST class, that is Bible Education Study and Training class. Each session, I mainly teach about Jesus Christ and salvation and how to have an effective, intimate, personal relationship with God through prayer. Before it all began, a guy who people refer to as Blanket Boy, because he always had his blanket wrapped around himself, asked me to spend a few minutes each day teaching him from the Holy Bible. I was honored to do this, so I agreed that I would do so as soon as I put something together. I prayed that God would lead me in what to teach, but after a night or two, I still had nothing. In Miss Golden's class, my cousin Dwight and I sat at the same table right in front of Miss Golden. During the course of her 2-hour class that day, there were about 3 or 4 times when Miss Golden waved a handful of papers in the air toward Dwight, signaling that she had something for him while saying, "I got something if any of y'all want to teach over there." After class, as we all shook Miss Golden's hand and said our goodbyes, Miss Golden tried to give Dwight the little stack of paper. She told him that the Holy Spirit led her to print them and bring them to the jail with her that day. Dwight was known for spreading the word of God, so Miss Golden thought it was for him. But Dwight said to Miss Golden, "I'm getting out of jail tomorrow or the day after tomorrow." I told Miss Golden my situation, not having anything to teach Blanket Boy, but wanting and needing something. So she gave me the paperwork instead of giving it to my cousin Dwight. God used her to answer my prayer. The material was mainly about salvation, baptism, the body of Christ, and Jesus himself, so I could make good use of it. Around the same time that all of this was going on, Captain Tyrone Banks, the jail administrator, told me that he wanted me to teach some guys about the Bible, and he began moving them to the jail unit where I was housed. I started by giving the guys something to read for a couple of nights. Then we would discuss it in class 3 times a week. I would quiz them and pass out commissary to those who scored fairly well, 16 or more out of 24 questions. This was the start of a BEST class, and I still hold it at the same time to this day. Back before BEST class originated, Dwight used to come and sit in my cell and preach the word to me. I think that he used to single out others as well and do the same. At the time that the Lord sent Dwight through, I was under the mentoring of a Jehovah's Witness whose name was Roscoe. I was seeking the Lord, so I was open to doctrine that came from the Bible. Even though I give Roscoe credit for leading me to Jesus, my cousin Dwight, whom I love and trust, taught me that some of the doctrine I was being taught was falsified. I will not get into details. When I realized then the reason why the Lord had sent Dwight from prison to the LaFleur County Jail at that particular time, so my big cousin became my spiritual mentor. Let me briefly explain to you how the Lord used Roscoe to lead me to Jesus. When I was first arrested for murder in January 2016, Roscoe and I used to play chess each day. He would pause in between games to teach me the Word of God. After I finally opened up and told him that the small number 144,000 of people who would be saved did not include me, Roscoe showed me in the book of Revelation that there were going to be 144,000 who would judge the great multitude. As I read this scripture, Roscoe told me how to be saved through Jesus, and I began to cry, thanking the Lord that I had a chance to go to heaven for eternity. I had a fellow Christian from Chicago who I called Shy, who was locked up in the same housing unit with me after they moved us from the unit where Roscoe was housed. Shy and I went to church and class more than anyone else, so they called me pastor and they called him deacon. It was funny for Shy because he liked putting everything on me. Together we would call for group prayer once a week, twice at the most, and we would hold a Bible study once over the course of 2 months. This is not much, but we were trying. After Reverend died, my cousin Dwight Kane, he chastised me and Shy for not being more active. He told us how he used to hold Bible study every day and that we should do the same. I knew that the Lord had sent Dwight to help me on my journey, so I took Dwight's words as inspiration instead of arrogance. I could no longer make the excuse of not knowing how to preach or teach the Word of God, because Miss Golden's class had taught me a technique. Just write down what I wanted to say and then say it. So this criticism from my cousin also contributed to me starting a routine in which I spread the Word of God. Dwight also began calling for group prayer each night, 7 nights per week, until we picked up the habit and continued it. At first, only 1 or 2 people out of 7 to 10 in the circle would pray. Shy thought that we should all pray, though. I thought he was just jealous because I had a group of guys who sat and listened to me 3 days per week as I spoke the Word of God. I felt like he was picking on them because he used to say things like, "Y'all giving cocaine too much praise and y'all ain't learning nothing. Y'all just going for the free coffee." I had free coffee, sugar and cream at each Bible study. I was stuck on myself at the time, so I used Shy's words as an excuse not to follow his advice and have everyone in the prayer circle lead prayer. God's timing is ever powerful, though. I had the guys reading prayers in best class that they had personally written. It was simple. One paper with 5 things that you want God to do for you, one paper with 3 things that you want God to do for someone other than yourself, and one paper with 5 things that you want to thank God for. I think we worked on each paper a total of 2 classes until we had all 3 done. So we would join hands at the table, taking turns reading our prayers. One Thursday night, New Green Grove Church of Faith came out to preach the word. At the end of a message, the guy told us that we were doing a good job by holding group prayer call every night faithfully. Then he said that all of us in the circle should pray. Once we made it back to the housing zone, Shy said to me, "I told you so," and that's what we began doing. My arrogance and pride did not allow me to receive God's message from Shy, but I definitely got the message from Minister Wiley, a friend and guest of New Green Grove Minister Gregory Elder. So now my ministry was in full effect. People were sitting in and listening to the Word of God. Some were standing in the shadows listening. Guys were participating in group prayer and letting their requests be made known to God, all the while thanking God for what he had already done. They believed that I was actually trying to serve God for what he had already done. They believed that I was actually trying to serve God with a pure heart. Still, the guys blamed my change of heart on my circumstances. They would say to me, "The only reason you do all that stuff for God is because you're on that serious charge. If you weren't locked up for something so serious, you wouldn't have your hashtag. So even though they attended prayer calls and eavesdropped on the class sometimes, the guys were not willing to change, since they were not locked up for serious offenses. They decided to remain in bondage to sin. The people of Israel believed because of the signs that Moses had shown them, and they worshiped God. But after Moses spoke with Pharaoh, the Israelites' labor in bondage got harsher. Therefore, the people of Israel decided not to take heed to Moses' words. They blamed their cruel punishment on Moses and Aaron.